Thank you, Pastor. It has been my joy to be here today. I appreciate all the kindness to me. I appreciate your friendliness, your smiles, and you are a good crowd to preach to this morning. I wish I'd preached an hour longer, but I'll probably do it tonight. But I enjoyed being with you. I appreciate the fine room, and your pastor is always so kind to us, and we had a wonderful meal today. And so we've had a great time of fellowship and a good time, and it's always good to be in this place and to be here with such a legacy of faithfulness to the Word of God. 75 years coming up. And the two, of course, last two pastors you still have, and the great job that they've done, and the things that have gone on here is amazing. And I hope that you're thankful for it and you don't take it for granted, because there are a lot of places that get calls all the time who are looking for a pastor, looking for a preacher, looking for somebody. And it seems there's a lot of hirelings out there, but there aren't very many faithful men who are willing to come in, roll up their sleeves, and stay somewhere and build something. So you're very fortunate here in this church. And you look forward to the years to come, what God is going to do here. And we appreciate your friendship to my son and our ministry we started in Jacksonville. And we appreciate your friendship and kindness to him always. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we shall begin tonight. And if you'll follow with me in the Bible, we'll go many places to start with, and then we'll settle in and bring the message that I feel like God wants us to bring to you tonight. Ephesians chapter number 1. And when you find Ephesians 1, let's look at verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us, and all wisdom and prudence. Well, we could stop right there. We sometimes forget all the wisdom and prudence that God has toward us. Did you know tonight you're exactly where you should be? Tonight you're exactly have the life opportunity that God planned for you to have. And God knew what he was doing. Did you know God didn't look down here one day and say, "Why, where did they come from? I better come up with a plan." No, God planned the life before he planned to put you here. And so, I'm not preaching there, but we just had to comment there. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, the mystery in the New Testament, when you read about a mystery, is something that has not been revealed, that is being revealed. And notice what the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. In other words, God puts you in this world to reveal to you the will he has for you. And that mystery of that will he has for you is according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God says, "I made you for pleasure. I made you for my good pleasure. And there's a will I have for you so I can enjoy that good pleasure that I purposed in myself. Then the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Now, there's the purpose there, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's why we exist tonight, is for someone to praise the Lord. Did you know that your very life should cause somebody to praise God? Your very existence should cause someone to be thankful for you and to be glad that they know you. And that's a testimony we all should strive to have. Now, if you'll look with me to Numbers chapter 36 and verse number 8. We found out we're created for his purpose, for his will. Now, let's notice Numbers chapter 36 and verse number 8. Just by way of letting you see what I want you to see in this verse, not go into the context of everything here. But it says, "And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father." Here's the reason why. "That the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers." Now, he wants to keep the home together. He wants to keep the lineage together in the home. Why? So that every man could enjoy the inheritance of his inheritance. Now, notice that word "enjoy" there. Don't forget that word, because we're going to see it again. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me in verse number 15. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 15. A couple more places Then we'll get down to business here. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 15. He's speaking to Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh here. And Joshua says, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sunrise. Now notice there, the word and enjoy it. In Numbers 36, you see the word enjoy. Here you find the word enjoy again. Enjoy the inheritance. Enjoy the possession. Now if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Notice what it says. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So God says, I give you richly all things to enjoy. And I want to say to you tonight that I believe that one of the reason we'll be judged one day, and the reason that God judges us sometimes, is because we fail to enjoy the things that God gives to us. And we fail to understand that God wants us to live in this world, not miserable, but He wants us to live in this world excited and joyful about His will for our lives and His will that He's working out in this world, and that we're to have joy in our hearts. Now tonight, I'll promise you, most people are not enjoying life. Very few of you know anyone who really say, boy, I know they enjoy life. Very few people are enjoying life. They are enduring life. And that is not the plan nor the will of God. God wants us to enjoy life. He did not create us to be miserable and to make others miserable. God created us to enjoy everything that He has made for us. So tonight, we're going to speak on the subject, how to enjoy life to its fullest. How to enjoy life to its fullest. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. I pray the dear Holy Spirit would minister to all of us this evening. And Father, that someone tonight who is battling depression, battling heartache, and Father seems to be just struggling along, may they find new energy tonight. May they find new purpose tonight. And may they begin to enjoy this life that You have given to us. And all the things that You've given to us, may we recognize them and may we be thankful for them and may we praise You for them. Now, thank You for this great church. Thank You for the members here. And I pray tonight that You'll help me to be a special blessing on this special day that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. He wants us to enjoy, we've read here, all things that He has created. And now, most people are never content. They're always trying to find happiness. Happiness. You know, you can find happiness tonight and it can be gone in the morning. It may just last an hour, may just last a moment. Happiness is a very temporary feeling that we experience, and it doesn't last long. What we should want to have is the joy of the Lord, because the Bible says that's our strength, the joy of the Lord is. So we need to find that joy that God would have us to have, and that joy comes from learning to enjoy what God has given to us. And most people never understand this. They're never content. They're always looking for something. They're always trying to find it. And they try everything. And, oh, I think I found it, but it's gone. I finally found happiness. No, it's gone. You didn't keep it. It only lasts for a little bit. It's a temporary thing. Happiness is happenings. And happenings happen all the time, but that doesn't mean they're everlasting and they're joyful. So we need to understand that we must find how to enjoy this life or we're displeasing to God. Now, I say this kindly as I can tonight, but if you're a miserable old prude tonight, you're displeasing to God. That's you are. And sometimes people say, well, I don't understand why nobody likes me. Look in the mirror and listen to yourself and you might figure it out. God doesn't want you not enjoying life, and God wants everyone enjoying life, and He wants you to make others enjoy life. And that's our responsibility. I used to tell the young people all the time, if you're not smiling, I take it personally. It's a personal thing with me. I've got to make you smile. I have got to put a smile on your face. And that's the responsibility we ought to look for to everyone, is to making them rejoice and to be happy. So I want to tell you this story tonight, and I trust through it you'll see what a wonderful God we have. Tonight I come to you to testify to you on behalf of our Heavenly Father. I want to tell you how wonderful our God is. And I want to tell you about some things that we don't consider sometimes, and we don't think about often that we should. Just to see how wonderful our God is, from the Word of God we find, number one, that God prepared everything for our enjoyment. Did you hear that? God prepared everything for our enjoyment. That means that everything that is, God prepared it for us for our enjoyment. That means His creation was given with me on His mind. Did you know that the Lord planned us before He did this world? Did you know that before there was ever a mountain, you were? Before there's ever sea, you were. And God planned it all for us in eternity past. And so I go every day, and this is the way you ought to learn to live. Did you know tonight I can go out and look at the stars in the sky? And you know what? They were created for me. Think about it. You may think they were created for you, but I'll tell you, they were created for me. They were created for me because God said, I want him to be able to enjoy the night, to go out and look up in the night and look up into the air and even say, twinkle, twinkle, little star if I want to, and to enjoy the creation of God. The moon is up there for me. And how wonderful God is. And then the sun comes up in the morning, a beautiful sunrise. But he made that for me. I'll let you share it, but he made it for me. He made that for me. And I go around all the time just thinking, boy, I sure am special because I have a Heavenly Father who has just made so much for me to enjoy. All the oceans, I love the oceans, Atlantic and Pacific. I love the mountain ranges in the east and in the west and all over the world. I enjoy so many things, the waterfalls that I've been able to see, all the experiences, the high mountains to go up on. And every time I do, I think, it was made for me. I remember the first time my wife and I went up on Pikes Peak. And it was in the fall time. And she said, boy, I wish it was snow on Pikes Peak while we were up there. And I'm thinking, dear God, I hope not. But he loves her more than me. Because as soon as we got up there and got out of the vehicle, it began to snow. And the snow came down, and Evangelist Bill Burr was with us and his wife, and he went into panic mode because he panicked all the time about how are we going to get down from here. But God made that snow for us, and we stood there and enjoyed that snow and enjoyed that moment. And folks, when you learn that God just made it all for you, he made it for you to enjoy and understand the beautiful lakes, the rivers, all so many things. And we remember, though, in the story of life, we have a wonderful God, but there's somebody else involved. His name is the devil, Satan. Oh, smutty face. As much as God wants you to enjoy, he doesn't want you to enjoy. Satan wants you to be miserable. He liked to make men suffer throughout eternity, but after you get saved, he'll try to make you miserable while you're here. And he will do everything he can to make you think that God never thinks about you. Why, God's just running his universe and he never thinks about you. And you've got to understand, when hard times come and you feel lonely, when you feel like you want to be despondent somewhat, just go out in nature and look at all that God has made and realize, hey, he made that for me. Those beautiful redwoods in California, they were made for me. And you go and enjoy and take a deep breath of the beautiful air of nature and enjoy those things. Because God made it for me. It wants me. Yes, he thinks about me. He created some things that I could always enjoy. What a wonderful God. He says, I made it all for you to enjoy. Isn't that wonderful to think about God loving us that much? And then secondly, he tells us then to enjoy it. Now think about it. He didn't just make it. He said, I made it. Now you enjoy it. And so he says we're supposed to enjoy everything that he made. So I'll tell you what. I know this tonight. You can say it's not so, but I'm going to preach the Bible to you whether you want to hear it or not. I believe that he made Burger King, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, you name it, he made it, and he made it for me. And you can look at me and tell that I've done my part in enjoying what God has made for me. He made it for us and said, go and enjoy it. That means tonight that he wants you to enjoy the animals he made. That means tonight you ladies can have, my wife has two poodles that she loves more than me, I'm afraid. But she loves those poodles, and they're her companions, keep her company since all the kids are gone. And she loves those poodles, and they're going to live forever, evidently. And she loves those dogs, but you know what? That's okay. They bring pleasure to her. They're with her when I'm not there. They're a companion, and that's okay. It's all right for you to have a dog that you love and that you take to your friend. It's okay. I won't understand you a lot. It's okay if you want to love a cat. That's okay, but that's on you. You can enjoy the cat. You can enjoy the cat. You can enjoy a bunny. You can enjoy a gerbil. You can enjoy anything God made. He didn't make us for them. He made them for us. That's why these wackos, environmentalists, are off the mark. Everything was made for us. And God said, I want you to enjoy everything. Now that means also, you guys like to hunt? God made them for you. It's okay to go shoot Bambi. And Bambi's daddy, and Bambi's mama, and Bambi's little sister, everybody. And God made it for you. It's okay, hunters. Just don't do it on Sunday. Hey, it's okay to go fishing. God put them out there for somebody to catch and eat. It's okay. God, ain't God wonderful to make this and say, hey, I made this for you. Go enjoy it. That means also that He made our family for us to enjoy. That means, wives, He made your husband for you to enjoy. Now, you may have a hard time figuring that one out, but He made him for you to enjoy. And it should be a joy for you to be married and to have a husband and to take care of him and to look after him. And men, He made your wife for you to enjoy. And we should be enjoying each other. Home should not be a battlefield. And home should not be a contest of wills. It ought to be a place where we enjoy each other and enjoy the fact that God has put us together. That means our children, they're not a problem. They're not a bother. They are to enjoy. That means I wish children could enjoy their parents. I want to warn you all of something tonight. Your children are hypocrites. They will love you and say, I love you, and I love you, and I love you. Then one of these days, they'll be gone with a stranger. It's already happened to many of you. But it's going to happen. But you still love them. Realize God gave them to you for a reason, to love and to nurture and to take care of. And God loves them. God wants us to enjoy our families. This attitude in our world today that home is such a bother and is so much trouble is not of God. And we've got to understand that God wants us to enjoy life. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he wants you to gripe about everything, complain about. He doesn't want you to enjoy your marriage. He wants to try to put in your mind ideas many times of breaking up your home and breaking up your life. And you can't listen to him. God said, I made it all. I want you to enjoy. And all of our problems come to us in life. And I hope this will make sense to you for this message over. All the problems we have in life is because we are not knowing how to enjoy what God has commanded us to enjoy. By our not enjoying things God makes for us, we find trouble. We find heartache. We find disappointment. God wants us to enjoy. And God says, okay, I prepared everything for you to enjoy. He says, now I've told you to go enjoy. He said, oh, better do something else. Because He knows how we are. He says, I am going to give you something else. And so God, with this wonderful creation that He made and all the things for our enjoyment, says, I'm going to give you a book of instruction that will teach you how to enjoy all that I've made for you. Boy, isn't that a wonderful thing? God says, I love you so much. I made it all for you and I want you to enjoy it. So I'm going to give you a book. And this book is going to tell you how to enjoy life. Now, the devil doesn't want you to enjoy life. So one of the places he fights the hardest, he fights against this book. And he fights against the instructions from that book. And he wants you to look other places. He wants you to neglect reading your Bible. He wants you to neglect. You know why people's lives are so messed up and mixed up and they're so pitiful? It's because they're trying to build their life by the wrong instruction book. They're not in the book that God gave us. You see, God wants us to build our lives upon His Word. And He gives us the instructions how to do it. Now, I can tell you from personal illustration, this is more difficult than it sounds, for us to follow instructions. Because I can speak as a man tonight. There are two things that real men do not do. They do not read maps, and they do not read instructions. All of you ladies know that. That is the weakness that we have. But real men just don't, they just don't read instruction books and everything. They do it on their own. I'm going to figure it out. I can do this. And boy, I've paid many a price for that in my life. Oh, at Christmas time. Putting something together, and your wife, I don't know what it is with women, they want you to put it together. And I thought once my kids were grown, and now my wife, can you imagine this? We buy something for the grandkids, she wants me to put it together. You can't give it to them not put together, why not? Their daddy can put it together. Why should I have to do it? But oh, many a Christmas Eve night in there in the garage beating things and throwing things and losing my religion and backsliding every way a man can backslide trying to put something together. And then your wife, with all the sweetness and sincerity in the world, opens the door and says, "Are you about finished?" "No, I'm not about finished." She closes the door and you say, "Yeah, I'm about finished. Yeah, I'm finished. You know, and then you go right into it again. Gets worse. Then she comes back, and this is the worst of all. She says, "Did you read the instructions?" And the first thing through your mind is murder. You begin to think, the instructions, and you're looking at what you've created there, and it doesn't look anything like it looks on the box. And so finally, you're going to have to take the instructions and go by to do it. And that's what we do in our lives. Now listen, there's nowhere to build your life but upon the Word of God. There's nowhere to have a life that's happy and enjoyable without God's Word. There's nowhere to build your home without God's Word. You've got to have it. God's given us all these wonderful things to enjoy. He says, "I know you. I made you. I got to give you a book that gives you some guidance." And so He gives us this book about how we can enjoy His creation. That's why we have got to understand it. So we're to study this book. And I find something. Most Christians are not reading their Bible like they should. Most Christians aren't spending time in the Word of God, and that's why lives are being hurt. That's why lives don't look Christian. That's why lives are not what they ought to be, because we're not in the Word of God, letting God give us the instruction we need for life. And so this is so important, Christian. You see, we understand that. So we talk about revival and all this stuff. If we can't even read our Bible, we're not going to have revival. We've got to come to the place to fall in love with our book again, because this is how we're going to make it in this life, and this is how we're going to know how to build our life and how we're going to enjoy life and enjoy the things that God made for us to enjoy. So He says, "Here's a book of instructions." Now, what a wonderful God. He didn't have to give us a book, but He did. He gave us a book of instruction to enjoy all that He made for us that He told us to enjoy. So now I can obey Him about enjoying because I've got the Word of God. And then God says, "Well, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to study." He said, "Well, I'm going to give you something else." God then, after doing this, to show you how wonderful... Now, this is showing you how good God is. God gives us, chooses out from among us, a man to lead us in the study of the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? God chooses out from among us a pastor to help us in enjoying the Bible and learning from the Bible. And we have a pastor who helps us. He looks down upon us and He chooses someone. He doesn't choose all of us. He chooses someone among us. He says, first of all, there's got to be someone that won't work. So I got to choose somebody like that to be the pastor of the church, because everybody knows the preacher don't work. That's what everybody says, you know. But he's got time to spend in that book. And he spends time in that book. And by the way, the only two things a preacher is commanded to do in the Bible is to study the Word of God and pray. He's not told he has to perform weddings, but he does. Aren't you glad? He's not told he has to bury somebody, but he will. He does that because he loves you. But the only command he has is to study that. That's why a preacher is irresponsible who doesn't study the Word of God and doesn't pray. And that's why he can't preach. Thank God you got a man of God who lives in the book. And now he comes to you. And the way this is supposed to work, see, the devil doesn't want you to enjoy, so he wants to keep you out of the Bible. But the way this is supposed to work, you study your Bible all week long. Every day you have your quiet time. Oh, God, teach me something. Oh, God, show me something. And maybe you start looking for an answer for something in life, because you want to enjoy life, but things are complicated and you're having trouble. You're missing something. So you study and you study and you study and pray and ask God to show you. And then you come to the house of God, and the man of God gets up and opens the same book that you got, and he begins to preach or teach it, and a light goes on. And you may have already told the preacher you need an appointment with him. You're going to go to him after church and say, "Preacher, I don't need that appointment anymore. I got the answer this morning." Did you know that's the way it's supposed to work? And that's the way God wants it to work. That's why you come to the house of God with your Bible. And you listen to the man of God with the Bible. Because from that book, you're going to receive your instructions on how to live and how you're supposed to live. And we are to learn by studying the Bible. And oh, we really realize this. Everyone needs a pastor. Did you know that? Now, I can say something right now. I know that it's true because I have pastored many, many years. There are people sitting in here. You may have been a member of this church for a long time, but you still don't have a pastor. Because you know all the answers. You can figure it out on your own. You're that smart. How are you really doing, though? How's your spirit? No, everybody needs a man of God in their life. And one of the best things you can do tonight is make that man your pastor. Now, many of you have. And that's why you're doing better than some people. You make the man of God your pastor. You need the pastor to direct you. You need the pastor to help you. You need the pastor. God gives you a pastor. That's part of God's gift. He said, "I want you to enjoy life." So He gives you a man of God. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that if you're in an hour of sorrow, there's somebody who'll come stand by you with comfort? Aren't you glad there's somebody who'll pray for you? This is what God does. Why? He wants us to enjoy life. Now, the devil doesn't want you to enjoy life. Remember him? The one who wants you out of instructions and all. The devil doesn't want you to enjoy life. So what does he do? He's doing it all over this country. He sows seeds against pastoral authority in our churches. You don't need to do everything the preacher says. Who does he think he is? God? That's the most unintelligent statement a person could make. He knows he's not God. But he's the man of God. He's got the call of God. And God is going to use him. And that's why you need a pastor. When Joshua came to take the place of Moses, the people said to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 16, they answered Joshua saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. Whatsoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." They said, "Joshua, you're God's chosen man now, and we've got no problem doing everything you say. We've got no problem following you anywhere. The only thing we ask of you, Joshua, is that God be with you like He's with Moses." That's the responsibility of the man of God, to walk with God, to spend time with God, so that he can be what he needs to be. And a man of God. This country is suffering tonight because there are no men of God like there should be. And he said, a man of God is not a reverend. A man of God is somebody who walks with God. A man of God walks with God and has a godly testimony. And it's foolish. I almost scoff and laugh if people say, "Well, I disagree with the preacher." I'm meddling now. Because I pastored a long time, so I just know I can meddle it now. And you can't fire me, you can't hire me, you can't do nothing. And if you get up mad and leave, everybody's got your number. Everybody needs a pastor. And you say, "Well, I disagree with the preacher." Well, I wouldn't tell anybody you were that dumb. Number one. See how people tell me that. And they, how many times have you read the Bible? How many years did you go to Bible college, seminary? How many papers or books or pamphlets have you written? How many churches have you built? I always want to tell these people, Brother Bloom, go out here and find you a piece of property and build you a church. But people don't have enough character to do that and say, "I disagree with the preacher." They might try to split a church. But this is the thing we need to understand. You need a man of God. And God gives you. You know that He, you say, "Well, I wish I could give the gift back," but you can't. That's your gift. And there's another gift over there. It was before Him. And God gave them so that people here, you know that a lot of people through the years have learned to enjoy life and had great lives and had great things happen in their lives because of the men of God who have been here in this place. You know why? That's the program of God. I hate to bring the Bible into it, but I must. Hebrews chapter 13 And verse number 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, who rules over you? Those who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, the Bible says you're supposed to obey him in all matters of faith. Is that not what it says? You have a King James Bible? We don't have a problem here with what we're reading, do we? It's right here. And in the matters of faith, you follow his faith. You follow his faith. Why? God has chosen someone to lead you, and you consider the end of their conversation. Would you say if your life was like his, it'd be a pretty good life? Would you say if you could live like him, it would be a successful life? You'd be willing to stand before God with that? And God says, you consider that. Now look down at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And this is what church people understand many times. You know who's going to answer for this church? That man sitting on that front row right there. You know who's going to answer for every family in this church? He is. He's going to answer for every young person, every child, everybody in the nursery. He will answer to God on the basis of whether he preached the Word of God to you and gave the Bible to you so that your life could be a success. And if he's preached to you the truth and taught you the truth, it's all on you, not on him. So you need to understand something. I always tell my people this. If I'm going to answer for you, you better believe I'm going to have something to say about your life on Sunday. You better believe I'm going to have something to say about your life on Wednesday, because I'm the one that God's going to call up there and make me answer for whether I was faithful in declaring the Word of God. And then it's on you. Well, I'll just do what I want to. Go ahead. You will answer to God. You will be judged by God. Because God said, I want you to enjoy all things I made it for you to enjoy. Now go enjoy it. He then says, I'm going to give you a book so you can enjoy it. And then this wonderful God of ours says, to help you even more, I'm going to give you a man of God to help you understand. See, you folks in this church have got to be very careful, because you have had longevity of faithful men in this pulpit. All over this country are dying churches, because there's no man of God in the pulpit. And you must want one to have one. And you've got a desire to keep one. Oh, my, that's why the man of God must be part of your life if you're going to enjoy life like you should. And then God says, well, that man of God, he's going to speak to him, talk to him. You say, yeah, the preacher's got to help me. He's got to teach me. So when are you going to teach me, preacher? So, you know what? Then the preacher says, man, I got a lot of people here. I can go be at your house at 1 o'clock. I'll be at your house at 1. I'll be at your house. That's just not going to work out, is it? I can't come to all your homes individually and teach you the Bible, instruct you in the Word of God and the things of God. You know what? So God says, well, I'm going to give them something else. What does he give us? He gives us the local New Testament church. What a great God. You think about that tonight. Oh, how happy could we be if we didn't have a church? What would it be like not to have a place to come and gather? And he chooses a place where we can all get together and learn it the best and be able to fellowship with each other and encourage each other in understanding the Bible and to come to the house of God. And you only come to the house of God, and this is a trap the devil's got everybody talking about and falling into today, and good men. And I'm not trying to pick fights or start trouble or something, but I just grieve all the time today. When I was a young man, we used to say, we're going to church service. We're going to preaching. Now it's we're going to worship. Worship. And all we talk about is worship service. Worship service. That's not historical Baptist. Now, I don't pick a bone beyond this point. Worship is part of what we do on Sunday. We've done some tonight. Done some there. But you know the main reason you come to church for is to hear the man of God. The main reason you come to church is for preaching. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians, by the foolishness of preaching, or by some are saved. He's talking to saved people there. And our lives are changed. Our lives are saved. If your life ever grows and you ever amount to anything, it's going to be because of what you hear from a man of God in the house of God with the book of God teaching you how to enjoy all that God made so God can enjoy you. It's common sense, folks. The Lord says, okay, we got this church for you to meet at, a place for you to meet. So He says, I'll just send you mail there. Preacher's just a mailman. That's why you should never get mad at him. He's a mailman. He prays and God sends him your mail. It's got your name on it. He don't know it's got your name on it. He's like a guy drawing out of a hat and it goes to where it goes. But God sends your mail here. That's why if God's going to teach you something, God's going to speak to you, it's going to be from the letter He sends you. It's going to be you being in the right place at the right time, getting the right message. And you know what? That's why it should be a very serious matter when you absence yourself from church. That's why the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I know sometimes everybody misses and has to miss sometimes, and we do with the pressures of life. But to just casually miss church is foolish. Because God is going to speak to you. God is going to talk to you. I remember my son Greg has been here. I think you let him speak here. The singers have been here. He's a wonderful preacher. And I remember as a little boy, the only time in my life I took my family camping. My idea of camping is what I'm doing while I'm here. It's down at the Holiday Inn. That's camping. That's roughing it. And I'm not a camper. I'm not an outdoorsman. But I said, I want to go camping. So we went to Jellystone Park. Oh, boy. It was that was a week. I wasn't enjoying life much that week. I'll just be honest with you. But it came Wednesday night. Church is on Wednesday night. I got children. I got to go to church. We get in the car and we leave real early because we got to find one. We drive everywhere, everywhere. We can't find a church. What are we going to do? We got to find a church. So I pull into this little country town and there I find a storefront. And a sign said Baptist Church. And there was a church that was being started in the storefront. We went in there for church. And I got in there and I knew the man who was starting the church. And the preacher preaching that night was another man that I knew. And just a little handful of people. And here we come in with our family. We sit there. The preacher preaches. And during the invitation, my 9-year-old son named Greg reaches up and pulls on his mother and says, Mama, God's calling me to preach. Now, what if we had not went to church? Just think on that a minute. We don't know all that we miss when we miss the house of God. And I'm convinced in my heart if we had not went, he would not have been called to preach. I'm convinced that I wouldn't have had a successor for my ministry. I'm convinced of so many things I could say. But folks, God knows what He's doing and God has the right program, and the program's the church. And God gives us a man of God in that church. And we go to church, and I know what you think. All people think, say, well, the preacher, he wants us to come to church so he can just make up rules and do things and say things to get us. And I just want to worship God. You know where you're supposed to worship? Back on that. You know where you're supposed to worship? At home, in private. But you come to the house of God and do it collectively. But most of your worship, I've made this challenge everywhere. I'll make it here. I'll reward you greatly if you can show me in the New Testament a worship service. You can't do it. And it's okay. We worship at church. We worship at home. But that's the primary focus of our worship, is alone with us and God. Now, we come to the house of God to come together, but we think, well, the preacher, he's just going to preach. He's going to say some things and do that. I just don't agree with it. And you know how foolish you are. You think, see, some of you think you're so important, the only one who prepares a sermon for is you. And that's not true. And that works two ways, because you say, I'm not getting nothing out of it because you think it ought to be for you. And if it's real personal, then you say, who does he think he is? I mean, like that, you know. But you know what the preacher does? The poor old preacher, you know what he does? You think he comes down here, you think, like last night, he and I got together. And he said, Brother Neil, they sit on the second row or the third row. He'll look like this, wife like this. And they need somebody to wipe that smile off their face. I saw them out this past week and they were actually laughing. They were having a good time. We can't tolerate that. We just can't. God says enjoy it, but you preachers, you don't enjoy nothing. And so you think it all, he sits around all week. Who can I make miserable this week? And the strange thing, if he was really doing that, he'd be the same person every week. So but he doesn't really do that. Do you know what the preacher does? The preacher meets with people. He counsels with people. He prays for people. And many times he deals with people who've ruined their life. One of the greatest heartaches of a pastor is for someone to have ruined their life, to hurt themselves badly, to hurt others badly. And what he does when he counsels with these people and meets with them many times, he takes a journey with them. And he goes back with them down the path they went down, and he sees the wrong decision and sees what they did and sees what drew them away and what hurt them. And then he comes back to church on Sunday, and because of his alarm, he says, "Hey, folks, there's a road over here. Don't go down that road. Don't you dare go down that road. Because if you do, there's hurt, there's heartache there." That's what the man of God does. He doesn't try to make you miserable. He doesn't plot against you. He wants to save. He wants your life to be enjoyed. He doesn't want you to weep over family members. He doesn't want you to weep over people. He doesn't want you to weep over hurts and heartaches. We can't avoid them sometimes because every person has a right to their own mind, their own decisions. But it's up to the man of God to say, Hey, folks, don't do this. Don't do this. You're going to get hurt if you do it. I don't want you hurt. And then aren't you glad he's there? Even if you hurt yourself, he's there to put the pieces back together if he can. Oh, that's what the man of God, that's what God has given you. And he's given you a church. Oh, we ought to thank God for the church of Jesus Christ and the man of God that faithfully proclaims the word of God. This is how God helps us to enjoy life. And we come to the house of God for preaching. You see, watch those people who don't like preaching. I know that some people say, "Well, I just prefer teaching." We know why you prefer teaching. Teaching is just an assimilation of facts. You know, that's smart, did you? It's an assimilation of facts. And when you assimilate facts, you can put them to use if you choose. Or you can brag about what you know. There's some people who can tell you all about the Bible and they don't live any of it, but they know a lot about it. You assimilate facts. You're comfortable with that. You know, teaching never makes you uncomfortable. You're sitting there saying, "Wow, I'm glad to know that. Wow, I like knowing that. Wow." And you enjoy it. But preaching is a different matter. Because that preacher gets up and you're a little uncomfortable with what he starts saying. And, it makes you squirm sometimes. And it makes you uncomfortable. But the worst thing of all is that preaching comes to a point that he's making. It comes to a closure. And that closure demands decision time. Decision time. See, the preaching is something, it's like me preaching this message tonight. You either receive it or reject it. It's that simple. You receive it or reject it. You know, it's hard to just off reject it and blow it off completely if it's very pointed. And it's right at you. And that's what preaching is supposed to be. Preaching is supposed to put you on the spot. Thank God for a preacher that makes you feel convicted. So I go, it's a good thing when people say, "Go to church, boy. Brother Bloom's going to step on your toes." Well, good. You ought to have to shine your shoes after you go to church. That's why it does you some good. I mean, we ought to go to church where we feel compelled to improve ourselves, compelled to smile bigger, compelled to enjoy life more. And we ought to feel guilty if we're not enjoying life. And if we're doing things that are wrong, we should feel guilty. Because that's how preaching saves you. That's how preaching helps you. We should come for that. And then I must hurry. I could go on this all night, but I won't, I promise you. Because God's given us a lot of ways to enjoy life. He tells us then of which crowd we can enjoy the most. You know, you can't enjoy the things of God in every crowd. You just can't. You have to be in the right crowd. Now, tonight we are all members of an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And we ought to thank God for that. And this is the crowd, and I have to warn you, the devil doesn't want you to enjoy. He doesn't want you to learn. He doesn't want you to grow. He wants you to be miserable. So he's going to do everything he can to get you out of the right kind of church. He's going to do everything he can to. Because that's you're going to lose if he can get you out. And so he's going to do everything he can to get you out of the right church. And you've got to stay in the right crowd. That's when you come to church, you ought to come ready to get something. Get the kids ready. I remember as a child, my mom and dad, I watch them that week, payday come, my dad take that money, my mom would take it in their bedroom, and she would put it in tithing envelopes and put it in the top drawer. They didn't have a checking account. And then we would get ready for church, and we'd get our clothes out on Saturday. We'd come to church on Sunday, all prepared. We'd be having it drilled in our heads. We're going to church on Sunday. You have a good day at church Sunday. You know, listen to the preacher on Sunday. Go to the bathroom. My dad would always say, son, you can go to the bathroom anytime you want to, but I will kill you. So I didn't have a hard time remembering to go to the bathroom. You know, you have to. Today we don't get ready for church. Then we pray and come to church. Today we come to church. Everybody's trying to get dressed in the car. That's a task, isn't it? Trying to put a makeup on the car. Trying to comb the hair. And then everybody's fussing at each other. It's your fault. We're running late. It's your fault. And you pull in here, screeching on two tires. And you get out, and your brother Bloom walks across the park and say, "Hey, Pastor, looking for a great day at church today." Oh, come on. We don't prepare. If we prepared for church, we could have revival every Sunday. We got to spend half our time putting a smile on your face. Half our time getting you over the mad you were that morning at the kids or your wife or your husband. Hey, we need to get serious about this thing. God gave it to us to enjoy, not endure. So, gives us this crowd. And we come to this crowd, this fundamental Baptist crowd. And, you know what? I look around this auditorium and tell it. There are some of you who are misfits. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but you're misfits. But you know, you found a place where you fit. Here in this church, in God's house. Somebody asked me one time, says, "Preacher, you know," and I don't see anybody like this tonight, but they always say, "Preacher, why do all these strange people find our church?" I can tell you why. Well, there may be one or two of you here. I can tell you why. Because we love them. We accept them. We want to help them. And see, you came in here today and somebody smiled at you. And that's the first smile you've had all week, some of you. Somebody shook your hand and said, "Glad to see you." That made you feel special. Somebody even tells you sometimes, "I love you. Thank you. You're a blessing to me." And you don't know who tonight is looking at you, and you're their hero, and you don't even realize it. Just by your faithful, consistent example. And we come to the house of God and we say, "Man, I fit in here." You know, here, they call you an usher. Here, they call you a deacon. Here, they call you a Sunday school teacher. Here, they call you brother. But you're going to work tomorrow, and none of those terms will fit you there. They have other names they call you. They don't greet you with a handshake. They don't greet you with a "good to see you." That old world's cruel out there, but aren't you glad there's a place that God's got for us to come together where we can enjoy? This is your crowd. Your crowd's not out there. Some of you think, "Well, I'll go down and visit one of these strange churches." Now, I'll tell you, I'll confess my sin to you tonight. I have intentionally attended contemporary service. I have intentionally attended, and I never would with my children, and I never would as older. I have intentionally gone to the blended service. That's really one for the ages, the blended service. And folks, it's crazy. You got a bunch of people up on the platform dancing around, and they think they can sing and they can't sing. The music they play, anybody could be up there singing, pretending to sing. They're all up there jumping around, and the older folks are sitting out there looking like, "What in the world's going on?" And they're up there dancing around and carrying on and everything. And then, boy, wasn't that great. And then usually it's a woman doing it, leading it. I went to one of them, had a woman head usher. She is tough. And here you go to these places and it's blended worship, all this stuff, and you start all this stuff. And, you know, you'd be in there and you'd say, this ain't right. This just don't fit. And then the guy gets up to, speak. I wouldn't call it preaching. He gets up to speak and he is open, whatever he says. Sometimes it's Bible. And he opens his. Somebody next to you opens another one. Somebody over here has another. They preach them out of the pew and pull. And every one of them's got something different. And they start reading. You know what? And you sit there. Oh, we enjoyed that. Life's so much better for us since we found the right church. No, it's not. You don't fit there. You don't belong there. You have no business being there. And we need to realize who we are. And God gave us everything to enjoy. And God's given us everything we need. And He's given us this church. And we can enjoy it the best here. Don't you ever forget that. And then God also tells us of which crowd we enjoy the least. You see, you don't fit out there in the world. The worst thing in the world, you see, you can be spotted. The worst thing in the world is for some fundamental Christian to try to act cool and act like he's in the other crowd. That's pitiful. And you're not going to enjoy it in the wrong crowd. You're not going to enjoy the language. You're not going to enjoy it. The Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. God says, I made this world. I made everything that is for you to enjoy. I'm giving you a book so you'll know how to enjoy it after I told you to enjoy it. I'm giving you a man of God to lead you so you can enjoy it more. I'm giving you the house of God where you can get together with the man of God. I'm telling you the crowd to stay with, the crowd you'll enjoy it the most with. And hasten on. You want me to go on? I got more. Okay. He tells us then, once we start enjoying this life, that we have a responsibility to tell others about the availability of this wonderful life. Isn't it something to have something that's so good and we want to keep it from people? We know the way to heaven, and there are people who don't. We ought to share with them the gospel. We ought to show every day, there ought to be a smile on your face at work, even though they don't call you brother there or deacon there. They may call you bad names there, but you know what? You need to have a smile on your face. You need to work harder than anybody and be a witness for Christ by your example and your life and by word when you have the opportunity. Oh, we need to come to the place to realize that we have responsibility to tell others. And that's why God made you. Hey, that brother here tonight, when you get in the bus route, you know God made you for a bus route? He did. Buses need workers on them, and that's the best way. And heck, he said, I preach long enough to know, too. People on the mission field, people in the ministry. I got a young black man who's not young, so young now, but he's a pastor in New York that rode our buses, got beat by his dad every Sunday he came to church. And he would not leave that church, and he gave me a hug every week. He's a preacher now. If that was the only one, that would be worth it. But there's many. They grow up, and people remember who loves them. People remember who cares for them. And after we've had many bus kids through the years who come back as adults and they may be scarred and beaten up, but when they get low enough, they remember that person that loved them and that bus coming by. The other day, my son Greg tells me all these stories because he wants to keep me encouraged about things. He said about the other day, I got a call from a pastor in North Carolina and there's a young lady murdered. And the pastor that was doing a funeral called my son. And he said, I was called to do this funeral. And he said, I wanted to check out this young lady. And I went and found her family and talked to them. I asked them if she was a Christian. He said, oh, yes, she is a Christian. So we live back in Florida. She never missed church. So she got on the church bus every Sunday and went to church. And it was our church. So she got saved in there. She'd tell you she got saved there. And boy, here's the young lady who in heaven now. But where would she be if there'd been no bus to pick her up? Can I tell you about missionaries? Tell you more and more and all. Listen, this is the opportunities that are there. We're made for that. Are we going to enjoy it ourselves and not let somebody else enjoy it? God made you for gospel tracks. Boy, anybody can pass a track out. Say, you need to get involved. You don't have tracks with you. Just leave them everywhere. Leave them everywhere. I mean, it got to the point, and we were in Fleming Island, there were people who started putting up signs on their houses that said, Berean Baptist Church, don't leave any more literature. We have it all. We have many pieces of it. Please don't leave any more. Hey, it's supposed to be that way. Pass them out. Go, cut that cashier say, I've already got one. And she'll say, I got a drawer full even. I mean, that's the way it should be. We should be witnesses for Christ because we ought to tell others about the availability of this life. No greater thing than to be used of God to get someone saved. We should never sleep while people go to hell. We must remember that. I go on. God then tells us of the boundaries of inside which this enjoyment is found. Now, I can help you with something here. I'm going to touch on a dirty word in church now. And it shouldn't be. This word makes some people sweat. It makes some people, and it's not tithe either. If you don't tithe, you're in kindergarten as far as Christian life is. I shouldn't even have to talk about that. But this word is standards. People, I don't know why they get so bent out of shape about standards. Everybody has standards. Businesses have standards. Where you work has standards. There's things you've got to do. And you know why they do it? For the safety of others, for the well-being of others. Did you know standards are what God gives us to keep us in boundaries? We need boundaries. Remember, God made all this world for us. He made it all for us to enjoy it. And then He said, go enjoy it. Wow, that can be dangerous. And so God gave us this book and He gave us the man of God. And then God provides standards for us so that we know how to keep from ruining our lives with the things that are good. It's just like, I love my wife. I still love to kiss my wife and hold her hand and be close to her and all. And you know, that's a good thing if you're married. If you're not married, I hope some daddy beats you up. It's a good thing if you're married. God put a boundary. What if He didn't have a boundary there? And I know there are some people who go to the extreme and they got a list this long of stuff there's no Bible. They got standards that aren't even in the Bible and don't exist. But folks, God gives us some very simple, basic boundaries and standards that God gives to us to protect us. Don't ever get upset if you run up against a boundary and it's proven by God's Word or the man of God is instructing you in it. Don't get upset about that. That's protection. And remember, He's got to stand before God and answer for you. So He's going to say, here's the little electric fence over here. Don't get near it. Standards are good boundaries. He tells us the boundaries so we can enjoy life. He then tells us this. He tells us if we do not enjoy this life that He's given to us, He will chasten us to drive us back to the place where we can enjoy it. Remember that God created you for what? His pleasure. Let me read a verse to you in Revelation 4:11. You all have this underlined in your Bible 3 or 4 times. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's pleasure, not our pleasure. Well, I just think I have a right to... No, you don't. But God's so wonderful, He says, you stay in my will and I'll give you enjoyment. You'll love your life. But He says, don't ever forget, you were created for my enjoyment. Do you know that sometimes our God wants somebody to suffer for His pleasure, for His glory, for His honor? We don't understand that. We can't comprehend that. But I've talked to some wonderful Christians, even on their deathbed, who will praise God for His goodness and His grace. God wants us to enjoy life, but He wants us to remember that He created us for His pleasure. What God wants from me is what I should be concerned about. Not what I want for my children, but what does God want for my children? Not what I want. God is the one that created everything for His glory and for His pleasure. And we should bring honor and glory to Him. And then, just one or two more. He tells us then, see, if He give you all these, you really have time all the time. He tells us not to enjoy anything extensively at the expense of others. You know, I feel sorry for some people. I really do. Because I have discovered, evidently, I don't know if I really believe it, but evidently, some people are shortchanged in time every week. I have 168 hours, but I found that some people don't have that many hours in a week. I thought God gave all of us 168 hours in a week. And you know He does. And God then says, I give you 168 hours a week. You are a steward of those hours. God says, you choose how to spend them. You got 168 of them. And we find that a lot of people's lives are messed up because they are spending too many hours in one place and not enough in another place. And when we need to become a good steward of our hours, and we need to learn how to balance our life out. And that's why, we ought to read the Bible. We say that, and we talked about that already. You don't have instruction on how to build your life if you don't read the Bible. And that's the book's going to judge us, and that's the book tells us how to be happy. But I'm not supposed to spend 24 hours a day reading the Bible. It'd be a little strange, wouldn't it? I'm not supposed to pray 24 hours a day, but I'm supposed to pray. And the Bible says, don't pray without ceasing. I'm supposed to go soul winning, but not 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I'm supposed to be a witness. I'm supposed to do a lot of things, but you know what? We're so selfish, and we try to protect ourselves. You ought to read the Bible some. It wouldn't hurt you to read a book. Good books are good for you, but get your pastor's approval, because don't go to one of these Christian pornography stores. Okay? And that's about what it is as far as spirituality is concerned. Get your pastor to help you. But they're good things to read. They'll enrich your life, enrich your marriage, and read it. But you don't read that and not read the Bible, and you don't read the, you know, it's okay to read something. We ought to pray some and read the Bible some. We ought to come to church some. We got to work some. We got to spend time with our children. We got to spend time with our wife. We got to spend time with each other. And these are responsibilities we have. You see, God never gives us a responsibility in this life that we cannot fulfill. I'm sorry, but I won't sign your excuse. You do have 168 hours in a week. You do have enough time for your wife. You do have enough time for your children. You do have enough time for your husband. You do have enough time to serve at church. You know what? If you spend money like you spend your hours, you're in bad shape. You know how you spend your money? You have a budget. We've got to spend this much for this. We've got to spend this much for that. And when you live by that budget, what happens? Well, all the bills are paid. Somebody says, well, I just don't have enough money. But if you live and guide your life, you have enough. And the same thing's true with our life. People say, well, I just don't have time for show you do. There may be something you're doing you need to give up some. You need to be a balanced person. We got this idea that Christians can't be fun. Christians can't have fun. And and most people think of a Christian, they think of some weirdo. Or to think of somebody, how it is. And that's why we should learn to be balanced people. I love many things. I love sports. I am a college football fanatic. Somebody says, what's your favorite professional team? I say the Georgia Bulldogs. They say, I said the Georgia Bulldogs. They're my favorite in everything. And I love it. And I love it. And I know you Gators hate that. But I'm going to stand for truth no matter where I am. You know what? You say, well, why do I want to know about something like that? A bunch of foolishness seeing those guys out there acting like idiots, doing what they're doing and all. Did you know your path might cross somebody you could help if you had enough brains to talk about football? I think you ought to try to learn all you can about some business things. Because you're going to cross the path of people who are interested in that. I've been, in my life, I was afforded the opportunity to travel with great men, and I watched them meet people of all stages of life, and no matter who they were, they could talk to them intelligently. Carry on a conversation. Do you know, your children might talk to you if you were interested in something they liked. Now, with your wife, it's tough. Because that HGTV is of the devil. And you can't get them off of it. But you've got to understand what I'm getting at. Things we're supposed to enjoy, we can't enjoy because we want to limit ourselves by our own stubbornness. Our own refusal to try to learn something outside the box. Well, some of the people say, well, I just wouldn't like that. Well, how did you know? How many times did you know? I never did it, but I wouldn't like it. That's intelligence at a high level, isn't it? No, God made everything for us to enjoy. And you can learn how to enjoy. And you can come to a place you balance your life. That's why I'm in. Let me tell you, I got to tell another trade secret here. I pastored long enough to know there are men who just come in, they don't have time for their wife, they don't have time for their kids. I feel sorry for Christian women. Their lawn is this high. Now, if their husband's had a stroke, he should get off from mowing the grass. Don't know anybody like that, you know. He should get away with not mowing the grass. But they can't get the grass mowed. They can't get nothing fixed. They can't get nothing painted. And his excuse is, well, hon, I got to go down to church and help out. You want me to work at church, don't you? And that rascal will be down here at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday or sometime. Just down here. And you know what he's doing? He's hiding out, ladies, let me tell you. He's hiding out. Don't let him get away with that. You want to go visitation on Saturday? You want to go on a bus ride on Saturday? Come do it. But it doesn't take 8 hours. And you're not supposed to neglect one good thing for another good thing. That's why you can still read your Bible and pray. You still can come to church and go soul winning. You still can do all the things you ought to do, you can do. Is this making sense tonight? I'm not charging you any more for this tonight either. A psychiatrist will charge you a lot for some of these things I've given you tonight. Then God tells us to praise Him. That's how you start. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When's the last time you praise the Lord? Let's praise the Lord. What am I praising for? Have you been listening? Start with creation, point number one. If you didn't get the points down, buy the CD. You start praising God, you'll be surprised what happens to you tonight. You just go down and start praising God for the stars. Praise God for the moon. Praise God for the sun. Praise God for your dog, if you have anything. Praise God for being saved. Learn to rejoice in all the goodness of God and see the hand and the goodness of God in everything that's been done for you. And you'll get over this attitude, God don't do nothing for me. Why am I always left out? It seems like He blesses others, but not me. Oh, get over it tonight. Hey, God's done so much for all of us. We ought to praise God. Walk around your house at night while those kids are still at home. And when they're asleep, go in there. Don't go in there and scare them. But go in there and pray over them. Go in there and thank God for them. Go and thank God for your wife. Thank God for the house you live in. It'll look a lot better if you do. Praise God for the car you drive. Praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That means, as we've been saying tonight, praise Him for salvation. Praise Him for your life. Praise Him for all the enticements He gives to you, is what He's saying. Praise Him for the mountains, lakes, and sunsets, and love, and beauty, and prayers. And thank God for your pastor, and praise God for him, and praise God for your people in the church that love you, and praise God for your friends, and learn to praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There's no excuse for God's people living down in the mouth all the time. God created you, remember why? For His pleasure, not yours. Didn't it make you good? Did you feel good when you make your child smile? Or your mother smile? Or your father smile? And you make them smile? That makes you feel good. We ought to feel good for making God smile. I want God to look down here and say, boy, I sure am glad I put Him down there. I sure am glad He's accepted what I've had down there for Him. I sure am glad He praises me for it. I want to do that for God because He's done so much for me. How to enjoy life to its fullest. Are you enduring? Are you enjoying? We ought to then give back to Him in appreciation for His provision for us. You don't love God if you don't tithe. You don't love God if you don't pray. You don't love God if you don't go to church. You don't love God if you don't give back to Him. What does He want? He made you for His pleasure. God, how can I today please You? Whatever I can do to please You, show me. God, if You want me to go through something, give me the grace to accept it because I want to please You. You know, your home can change. Your whole outlook on life can change. People who know me will tell you I'm one of the happiest people they know. I said this morning, I'll never be a grumpy old man, and I won't be because I try my best to live on a plane that's higher than this earth, enjoying all the things that God has done for me and rejoicing in every trial. I want to please Him more than anything. It's more important for God to be happy than for me to be happy. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. Get His joy tonight. Our Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, people, being patient. We've gone a little long tonight. But Father, I felt the necessity and felt the liberty to do it because of the people tonight. And Lord, may they know my desire. I maybe remember this preacher that came by on this Sunday. And he came by for only one reason. He wanted to encourage God's people. He wanted to put a smile and a hope in somebody's heart. And I pray tonight that there'll be people here tonight who'll quit rejecting life and quit fighting life and quit fighting their circumstances and accept the fact that you made everything for them. And where they sit tonight is the place that you want them to sit. And what they're experiencing tonight is something you chose to bring pleasure to you. And may our pleasure be in bringing you pleasure. Speak to every heart now.